What's up, y'all? This is Dave.
And this is Devin.
And you're listening to the Dave and Dev podcast. Dave and Dev. Gotta keep it real like Dave and Dev. On my job like Dave and Dev. Tell no lie like Dave and Dev. Some days I wanna stay in bed, but I get ready for the day ahead. I wanna complain, but I pray instead. Then I'm on my way to the Dave and Dev. And it go like, I don't need a crew. Don't play by he say, she say rules. Complain, no, we can't do. I'd rather have faith while G-O-D make moves.
So please stay cool.
All I do is speak the truth on things I see they do. I'm a sinner myself, no lie, I need grace too. We lit like EKU, yeah.
Yo, what's up, Devrin?
Yo, yo, what's good, Dave? How you doing, man?
Man, I'm living, bro. It's been way too long.
It's been a minute.
Way too long, fam.
It's been a minute.
Listen, bro, it's so crazy because, like, it doesn't feel like it's been that long since we recorded, for real, because this last few months has flown by, but it feels like it's been a while. The same time.
Yeah, it's been a minute though, but I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, me too, man. Me too. Listen, this is gonna be a catch-up show. Bro, you remember when we were kids, that I think it was a show like Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
You know, yeah. That's
right now. It's like, Where in the World has Dave and Dev been? People be asking me, they DM me, they call me, text me, oh, where's Dave and Dev? And I'm like, let's pause right now. Just pause.
I mean, we were pretty consistent for a while there, and then kind of we ghosted the listeners. So we do owe them an explanation.
We do. So I'll kick it off, man. I mean, it's been crazy. So for those of y'all who follow me on any of my personal pages, you know that Sheena and I and the family, we left Indiana. We moved back to Kentucky. We're in the Louisville-ish area. I left my previous job that I've been at for almost 9 years. It's been wild, man. It's been super wild. We can get into the weeds a little bit more on that later at some point, but it's been good. It's been good. It's good to be back in the bluegrass state. You know, this is where the home is where the heart is, you know, but glad to be back, man. What's been up with you?
Yeah, man. So since last time we recorded, finished the doctorate. So I'm Dr. Muff.
Dr. Devrin Muff.
Which is wild. That's kind of wild to think about.
That's super wild.
I'm not going to lie to you, Dave. Sometimes I actually forget about it. I was just telling Adeline that the other day. I actually forget. Like, oh, shoot, I'm a doctor. But
bro, you're the most prolific friend I have. And I mean that with all, like, respect and love.
Well, the crazy part about it is, like, I'm a doctor, but I can't clean your teeth. I can't save your life. I can just educate you. So, I mean.
Hey, yeah. You got a piece of paper that says that's your name, though. So yeah.
You call me at your own will. You know, just hope it's not an emergency. You know, if you need to learn anything about, you know, education or anything like that, I got you. But then I accepted a job. I'm at Kentucky State University. Go Thoroughbreds.
KSU, baby.
Yeah. And
HBCU, yes, right?
It is. It is the only public HBCU in Kentucky.
That's big time.
Yeah, it's awesome. And so I love it. It's been such a blessing to be there. And I'm teaching sport management and exercise science. And that's so basically in my classes, I get to talk about a lot of stuff, really what we discuss on the podcast.
Just yeah,
like in more like the educational sense.
That's dope. So the other thing too, that, you know, since you took that job at KSU, you kind of started you're doing your own kind of podcast. Like, what's up with that? And how can people like check that out?
Yeah. So I started another podcast. It's called The Overtime Project with Dr. Devrin Muff.
And so what a name, bro.
I know. Yeah.
TV show, fam.
try to make it easier for people. So if you, I mean, there's a ton of overtime projects, I guess, or the overtime podcast, what it was called. But if you search my name, Devin Muff, you'll find it pretty easily. But the podcast is basically supposed to give listeners awareness about issues and opportunities involving the world of sports. I made this podcast with particularly like my students in mind, but a lot of people can get different things out of it. So what I've been doing is interviewing people in different occupations involving sport. And then there's also been some episodes where we talk about different issues that are involved in sport. Like we're talking like the academic sense of things.
Like you did an episode on the NIL, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And the name, image, likeness. And we talked about the impact on international students. And so just anybody who would be interested in the world of sport management and who were interested, like, you know, because a lot of times when you talk to people about sport management, like, what can you do with that degree? Mm-hmm. So I'm interviewing people who are in the field, who may,
right,
you know, who have done good things with that degree. So, I mean, we've had sports psychologists, we've had professors, we've had athletic directors. I've had someone from ESPN, someone from a couple sports agents, some more sports agents coming on soon. So yeah, just a lot of like nutritionists, just anything in the world of sports you can think of. I'm trying to cover it all. So just stay tuned for that. It's already out. You can just search my name on anywhere you get podcasts. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast now, chances are if you search my name, you're going to find the Overtime podcast as well. And there's a couple more episodes coming out this season before I take a break, because having a new job and a new podcast at the same time is a lot. But
right.
But yeah, it's been fantastic, and hopefully everyone can check it out and rate me 5 stars. And if you don't rate me 5 stars, I'll just call you a hater and move on.
Facts, all facts. No, that's awesome, man. It's I've definitely listened to a couple episodes. Also, people can, I know that you've written a few things as well, but people can follow your blog page, and they can get links to the podcast, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So on there's a blog page. It's the Overtime Project. The Overtime Project, basically the name was Life After Sports or Life Beyond Sports. And again, we're talking like the in-depth kind of academic-y things when it comes to sports. And you can read some of the things I've written there, and just the ways you can keep up with some of the things that we're discussing, maybe in some of my classes, or some things that are trending in the world of sports, sport business, sport in sociology, or sport in society. And you can see there. But then I post all the podcasts will be posted there as well. And if you follow me on social media, the link is always in my bio of all the things that I've been doing as well.
That's dope. That's super dope, man. Well, it's been really cool to see, man, from afar. I don't think we planned on this, but I kind of wanted to just touch on it. It's so crazy, and how like in different seasons of our lives, like just these ebbs and flows of how things go. That, you know, something can pop up and kind of just be new and fresh and, you know, in the middle of, you know, for me, hard time, you know, that was really what characterized, you know, kind of my, I would say the first month or two that we didn't record, and the last month or two that we haven't been recording. You know, I think for me this year, the last 2 years, 3 years specifically, have been really, really hard. And so like, it's cool because the Lord has really shown me that like sometimes that change of pace, you know, for you got a new job, for me got a new job, the move, different things like that, how he can really, you know, use those things to kind of ignite and spark those things. So it's been really cool to see, you know, you, you know, making changes, and it's encouraged me and being a supporter of me and vice versa for you. So it's really, really cool, man.
Yeah, I think the theme for this season of life is that I've been reminded that God is faithful.
Yeah.
So that's been something that's been really cool.
Yeah. Our circumstances and situations can change, but he doesn't. And that's super encouraging and comforting.
For sure. For sure.
Well, bro, we're back. You know, I don't want to make over commit and under deliver, but I am excited to get back on the podcast and hopefully record at least, you know, a handful, maybe 10 more episodes this year. We'll see how it goes. But it's September 14th. We are one day removed from the first NFL weekend, second or third college weekend. We don't even want to talk about the college landscape.
I mean, we could talk about it. It's just going to be rough for, I mean, this is what we were built for, to take all the smoke.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can only have so many good years unless you're Alabama, I guess.
That's true.
And eventually, Alabama, your time's going to come too.
Eventually.
But this is going to be a rough season for Buckeyes. That's my prediction.
Terrible.
Even if they do change it, I mean, everyone's a freshman. Or they're underclassmen. So, I mean, we may, you know, it may be tough this year, but next year it's not. I mean, we'll be a lot better.
Yeah, we'll be back to normal. So that's the good news for sure. I think that, you know, we got a lot of talent. It's just, it's not going to come together this year for sure. That Oregon game was tough.
Maybe. Here's the thing, too. Yes, we'll still have a chance to win the Big Ten.
Oh, listen, winning the Big Ten, I think, is should be a guarantee for us every year. That's just me right now. But
there are good teams. Iowa's good. Penn State's good.
As long as we beat the team up north, honestly, that just about covers most seasons for me.
Yeah, that makes it all worth it.
Makes it all better. So we got the Buckeyes took an L to
Oregon. I will say this though. I low key have adopted like a junior team.
Who's that?
University of Kentucky.
Oh, listen. Oh, my guy Devron, in case y'all are listening to this right now, and didn't know, my guy Devron went to a UK football game last Saturday. My guy has season tickets for the home games this year. I saw he wasn't wearing a Kentucky shirt. But he was wearing a blue shirt. I think we're maybe 2 to 3 weeks away from seeing Dr. Devron Muff in a Kentucky blue shirt that says Kentucky, UK, Go Big Blue, something of that nature. Am I right or wrong?
I mean, it's definitely close. Here's the thing. I'll say this. I'm more likely to become a football fan than a basketball fan for you.
Oh, I understand that. I would never expect that out of you.
It's not like, so I had a conversation with someone the other day. I said, well, just drink the BBN Kool-Aid. I'm like, listen, ma'am, I'm not going to drink the BBN Kool-Aid. That's not going to happen. It's really just football, because here's the thing. University of Kentucky football is not great. But they're getting better. It's like when you remember you were a kid and you built like dynasties on the video games.
Yeah,
that's what it's like. And so seeing them come up is kind of cool. Like, I mean, they're not. Here's the thing with Ohio State: the expectation is national championship.
It's so great, yeah.
Every year, and I'll always be a Buckeye fan for the rest of my life.
Yeah,
but also it's. I mean, I live in Lexington, so having the chance to
physically be there.
Yeah. To be, I mean, and you got to understand how hard it is to get Ohio State tickets. Like those, like, I really don't think people realize that, like, people have tickets in Ohio, like Ohio State season ticket holders have passed down season tickets from generation to generation because it's so hard to get them.
Right.
And I mean, and so going to the game, we had decent seats. It was cool. I actually know like more than two players now on the team. Like, not know them, but like I know who they are.
Right, and right.
it was cool to watch. I mean, because every game's going to be like a struggle.
Yeah.
They're not gonna blow teams out.
And they're not gonna probably get blown out, knock on wood.
I mean, they played Georgia this year, so that
that's true.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still a realist. And so I don't know. I mean, they got Chattanooga this weekend. They should beat them. I'll say this. I'll probably be rocking a UK, the first time in my life, a UK shirt, only the football games. And that's it. I mean, when it's basketball season, I mean, I'm still rolling with my boys, the Colonels. He's up 3-0. Yeah. And well, yeah, we'll see at that point. Like, because last year, this is going to make you upset, because I know you like UK basketball. So you can blame last season partially on me.
Oh, snap.
Because last year was the first year I said, I'm going to give UK basketball a chance.
It's on you. It's your fault.
And I watched probably 90% of their games, and they kept losing.
So that's on you, bro.
And I was excited about Brandon Boston and all these people that they had.
No, he really didn't play well at all at Kentucky.
He's going to be a stud in pro.
He's going to be a good pro, I think.
But I say all that to say, yeah, I jumped off the basketball bandwagon real quick and right back to my boys in the maroon and white.
I'll be honest with you. If you decide to get back on the bandwagon, could you just not tell anybody? That'd be great.
I didn't tell anybody this time, and it's still.
Well, we won't talk about it again.
Still ended up like that. I mean, like you know, when I was in college, playing for EKU, you always have like this kind of like bitterness towards UK.
Because, oh yeah, it's like pure hatred. I don't know a single person that went to EKU and played basketball there that had anything nice to say about Kentucky basketball.
I had nice things to say, but they're like Marsha Brady. I mean. Yeah. You know, Marsha Brady gets everything she wants. And yeah. We had a problem with Marsha. And so at EKU, we were gritty. I don't even know what Marsha Brady's younger sister is. If you know that, you can blast me in the comments.
I don't know who that is either.
Yeah, I don't even know who she is. But that's who we were. We were forgot about.
You guys were the redheaded stepchild.
But we did well while we were there.
You did.
But we still didn't get it. You know, we thought we deserved some little bit more recognition, but you
know, y'all needed a little more love.
Yeah. So I mean, now I'm older, more mature. I can let that go.
Listen, I'm proud of this maturity.
That's growth.
That's real growth. That's sanctification right there.
You crazy? But yeah, so I'll probably when I do buy the UK shirt. If I do spend my own hard-earned money on a University of Kentucky shirt, which I've never attended a class at, I've hardly ever been on their campus, and I'm giving money to this institution, then I'll let you know, Dave.
All right, cool. That needs to be that has to be an Instagram post for sure.
Gosh. can we talk about one thing that's been bothering me about football?
Yeah, absolutely, bro. Lay it on me.
Is that so? I went to Kentucky State versus Central State in Ohio Stadium, HBCU Classic game. It was called the Columbus Classic.
Yeah.
It was the first year they did it. And the atmosphere is just live. I mean, you got the band that's rocking, people that's rocking. If you've never been to an HBCU Classic, I highly, highly, highly recommend it. It's good. Dave, it'll change your whole perspective on what you think about football.
I would love that.
Yeah, there's one coming up in Indianapolis in 11 days, so 2 weeks. So I'll say this too. I went to the Classic, had that experience there, and I've been to Classics before, but this is my first time, like, you know, I'm part of a Greek organization now. So that's, you know, so my viewpoint is different there. I'm actually part of the HBCU in Kentucky now. So I have people to cheer for. Like some of my students were playing in the game.
That's dope, yeah.
So it's cool. It's cool being in there. So, I was actively engaged in the game. Then I went to the University of Kentucky game.
And it was boring.
Two completely different atmospheres. Bro. But it's not only that. It's, you know, Deion Sanders is trying to get HBCUs, you know, back to where they were in, like, the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to do it. Like
I think he's going to do it. Didn't Eddie George just get hired at Tennessee State too?
He did. He did. And I've heard rumblings of Marshall Faulk about to get something coming up soon too.
Yo, that's big time.
It's awesome. You know, you get all these stars that are coming back and they're donating and using their resources back for HBCUs. But here's my thing. All right. If you're going to watch ESPN and you're going to watch an HBCU game, one thing that's so underrated about HBCUs is like when you go to like a University of Kentucky game at halftime, everybody go get snacks. They go use the bathroom, all this.
Nobody
stuff.
Leaves at the HBCU.
HBCU games, nobody leaves. That is the main event.
It's the show.
The battle of the bands. And here's something that a lot of people don't know is when the game's over, there's an event called the fifth quarter. And the band plays again.
That's so dope.
When the game is over, like after you know, the player kneels for like University of Kentucky game. Oh, we're out. I'm in the parking lot. I'm already out.
Yeah.
It's just a cultural difference. And here's what I'm saying. You know,
soapbox. Tell them.
If you're going to watch a game on ESPN, show the whole halftime. It's a long halftime, it's 30 minutes, but show the whole halftime because
it's the show.
That's a big piece of the game.
I love it. Listen, I'm here for it. You know me. I think I'm with you. I think that this resurgence is going to happen. I'm really hopeful it happens. I'm hopeful that these guys, you know, Dion, Eddie, these guys that are going and coaching these teams, I hope they don't get sniped by these bigger programs. Like I hope.
I mean, money at that point doesn't mean anything to you.
See,
think about
that's like how Deion I feel Sanders. About Deion. Like, why would he even go to Jackson State in the first place if he cared about money? Because he could have probably gone and gotten a head coaching gig somewhere else.
He probably could have coached at Florida State and made.
Oh,
twice
yeah. I mean,
they
Florida
probably
State
wouldn't have lost
Willie...
to Jackson. They probably wouldn't have lost to Jacksonville State.
That's true. I mean, they gave Willie Taggart a job, and Willie's a great coach. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying, like, we're talking Deion versus Willie Taggart.
Yeah.
Like, he could have gone and gotten a big gig. So, I'm just hopeful that he stays.
I mean, and the same with Eddie George. It's one of those things, like, if NFL legend, like Hall of Famer, comes up to your school and says, I want to be a coach, you don't tell them.
You're like, how much money are you willing to take?
Seriously. I mean, they're taking a pay cut regardless.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, Deion probably literally makes less as the head coach than he did working for the networks, for real.
Did you see that pump-up video he did? Like the pregame speech?
I feel like I saw like maybe just a few seconds of it. It looked
My goodness. Oh, when you get a chance, please watch that video. I'm sure you could put it in the link in the description, but my goodness. It is, I think he titled it It's Time. Oh, you're gonna have I have chills just thinking about it, Dave. You're gonna be ready to run through a wall.
I'm gonna have to watch it before I go to the gym in the morning.
Oh yeah. I'm not kidding, Dave. You're gonna run through a wall.
I'm ready for that.
You may get kicked out of the gym if you watch that. So watch it after. So
I go to Planet Fitness. I think that might be considered no lunking or whatever they call
They have like the no grunting rule.
So
you're definitely gonna get kicked out if you watch that video. So maybe on the way out you watch it.
Oh shoot. Well, listen, man, I totally agree. I think that's super sick that you're kind of getting to see that environment firsthand, and man, that's dope. Definitely agree about the cultural differences in terms of the games as well.
It's important. It's important. That's why I mean people come to see the band. You want to see what the band's going to do, what they're going to play.
Yep, that's facts. That's dope. Well, switching gears to the pros, man. Listen, I'm not trying to set myself up for heartbreak.
Whatever you're going to say right now is going to set yourself up for heartbreak because don't let week one fool you.
Listen. I'm having a hard time formulating my thoughts because I'm just so happy still.
I got a question for you already. So I'm already loading it up. So go ahead and say what you're going to say about the Bengals. Go ahead.
So week one.
I'm going to give you your shine.
We play the Vikings, okay? I know the Vikings are not that team. They're not that team, okay? They're not the team they were 2 or 3 years ago. They're still solid, but they're not those guys. But let me say this. And I think I did. I would have to go check the receipts. So bear with. I don't know if, you know, if I did, call me out. Okay. I don't think I bashed Zach Taylor for real last year, because I felt like he was put in some pretty bad situations, lost a starter. They were in every game that Joe played last year. They were in the game. So I tried to keep it cool, because I was like, I want to give the dude a chance. I think that this is hopeful. We played really well on Sunday for the most part. Defense, solid. Super solid. Joey B, amazing. Receivers play pretty well. Mixon play pretty well. I'm a happy camper. I'm not going to lie to you. 1-0, it feels good. It's the first time over 500, a hot minuto, you know what I'm saying? And
Dave, let me ask you this question.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm ready for it.
Because you guys were one fumble away from that game being over in overtime. You know that, right?
I'm aware.
Okay. Because if he wouldn't have fumbled that, they're playing keep away and then kicking that field goal, game's over.
You're right.
I'm glad that you got blessed with that game.
Thanks, bro. I really appreciate that.
But do you think you're going to make it to the playoffs this year?
Yes.
In a wild card position. All right.
Hey.
You can end the podcast now. You can
mark it down. I'm going to put it. I'm putting it out there right now. And I'm so sorry to my fellow Bengals fans that don't appreciate that. In case nobody can see this, but Devrin just took his headphones off. So he's done.
I don't want to hear it anymore.
He's done. He's done listening. But let me go on my soapbox. Devrin went on a soapbox about HBCU. So let me go on my soapbox about the Bengals. The Bengals. And this is Tuesday, September 14th. It's 9:41 p.m. The Bengals are going to make the playoffs this year.
Dave, don't do this to yourself.
The Bengals are going to make the playoffs this year. I'm not going to guarantee it, but I feel it in my soul of souls.
Dave, they're only better than one team in that division.
Stop. Ooh.
That's the Ravens.
And the Steelers, bro. We're better than the Steelers right now. Big Ben played like trash cans last week.
Yeah, he does, but their coach is amazing.
Their coach is amazing.
I mean, they're going to – the Steelers are almost a lock to win 11 games.
Hey, bro, I'm just going to say right now we're in first place.
Out of all the teams, like, think about it. Like, you all probably played the easiest team that – well, the Raiders are – of the division, like, okay – if you had a choice between – you don't want to play the Chiefs, you don't want to play the Bills. Both those teams have been predicted to win the AFC this year.
That's true.
Okay. And Steelers took care of business there. Browns were stupid mistakes away from winning.
Yeah, the Browns should have won that game.
I mean
– debatably.
Yeah, Nick – I mean, here's the thing about that. The Chiefs aren't – they're going to score. They're going to find ways to score. So that the first half – it was the perfect half for the Browns, and it was the worst possible situation for the Chiefs.
Right.
Second half was the best half for the Chiefs and the worst possible situation for the Browns. You don't have OBJ. The Browns played soft in their secondary because they don't want to give up the deep ball from Tariq Hill. So you have no choice but to give up these short passes, and they're just wasting time and clock's ticking down. I mean, if you go back and look at the highlights, Denzel Ward is literally one step away from that Tyreek Hill pass being deflected, and we're getting the ball back. So it's stuff like that. And the punter, I know people are – they say, why do you get so mad at kickers and punters? I mean, like, everyone makes mistakes, but it's like when they make mistakes, though – It
feels so much. It feels like when a punter or kicker makes a mistake, it's so much more agonizing and painful because they have one job.
But all that to say is that Joe Burrow is the truth. He's legit. But the question is that defense going to be good enough to get y'all to the next level?
We'll see. I think we can earn a wild card spot. I really do. It would be like winning a Super Bowl if we win a playoff game. And I know that sounds really sad, but that would be love right there.
Yeah. Oh man, I hope they end up playing the Browns in like a wild card situation or something like that.
I hope not.
Why?
I don't like that matchup.
You don't want that?
No, I don't want that smoke.
Yeah. See, it was all fun and games just a couple of years ago. People were just making fun of the Browns, but now
yeah, it's serious, bro.
Yeah.
Listen, I think it was maybe. I feel like it was maybe 3 years ago or something. It was like the last year the Browns like weren't good, and they beat the Bengals both times during the season. I was so sad. I was so sad, and I knew it was coming too. I was like, man, the Browns are about to be good. This is about to be every year.
Baker's just decent enough to get you wins.
He is.
The real thing is the running backs in the offensive line.
Bro, you guys got a two-headed monster in Cleveland.
It's really hard to stop them.
Yeah. Kareem and Chubb, man, that's how they both are there and another team hasn't poached them. I will never know.
Stefanski's a great coach. You got a great GM. Andrew Berry's
the Browns
great.
Have they have reached in their bag, and they've been spending bread. It's good.
Once OBJ comes back, then we'll see what happens.
Oh yeah, I'm curious to see that too. But bro, it's speaking of bag, we can transition here in just a minute. But how about the Lakers spending bags on old people?
Oh gosh. Your best player was on Fashion Week. One of your best players was on Fashion Week.
Yeah.
And for wearing the dress. Can we? I'm going to just say it. I don't like this new trend of dudes wearing skirts.
It's just not my thing. It's not for me. I mean, wear a skirt or dress if you want to, but that's not for me.
No, I'll just say it. Don't do that. I don't like that. I don't. It's one of those things where people say, well, it's not your business. I get it. It's like, bro, I just, no. It'll never be trendy for me.
Yeah, no, it'll never be trendy in my brain either. Like, I honestly, though, that's how I feel about a lot of fashion. I mean, I know I like my sneakers, but some of the shoes I see, some of the pants, the shirts, I'm like, yo, I don't get this, bro.
I don't either. I don't. But yeah, going back to the spending money on old people, I call them the little knockoff of AARP, the LAARP Lakers.
Yeah. That's
what I've decided to call them that this year. But it's really championship or bust.
Oh, for sure. Because here's the thing they're done. They're cash. It's over.
Yeah, like if somebody gets hurt, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. It's championship or bust. You spent all this money.
They spent a lot of money. Listen, man, I mean, y'all know me. I've been on record. I mean, there's receipts. I'm Team Bron all day. This is this season and what's transpired in this offseason has been pure comedy for me. Like, I got mad respect for it because I'll tell you, I mean, like Melo, one of my all-time favorite players. Russ, mad respect for that dude. Rondo, I got big, big love for Rondo. Always have been, you know, one of my favorite point guards for a long time. You know, you got these guys, but it's just so funny. Like, I just feel like every person that's over the age of like 33 that becomes a free agent, in my mind, is like, oh, they're going to the Lakers. And then the next day, it's like, you know, so-and-so has signed a one-year, you know, $2.1 million contract with the Lakers.
Yeah, it's here's the thing, too, is that, Dave, it's championship or bust.
Yeah.
But you're not going to have a healthy roster this year. There's going to be so much load management on that team.
Yeah, the whole regular season, I mean, is going to be like, especially if they're in a position to make the playoffs, like that last month of the season is going to be just scrub time.
So that's my thing with this, too. I don't see them getting a top two seed.
I don't see that either. I'll be honest with you. I really don't. Like, this is me keeping it all the way real. Like, I see them being maybe a 4, 5, 6 seed, maybe. And that's a struggle to get there.
And that's tough, because if you start getting around that sixth seed, then you got to do the play-in game.
Yep.
Yeah. And that becomes a little bit more difficult.
So question for you, like in a real talk, like, do you think that as a fan of the game of basketball and kind of taking a step back overarchingly, do you think that no matter what happens this year, like, okay, let's say this, like, if LeBron, if this team wins, do you think that it's like kind of just like it's a dub? Or if this team loses, is it like a complete just failure on LeBron? And no matter what, he's in like a lose-lose situation. Because there's a part of me that feels like that.
Are you talking about like legacy-wise?
Yeah, legacy-wise.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the big thing that separated like LeBron and Michael Jordan with like the team aspect kind of things. Whereas, I mean, we can talk about the rosters and whatnot, but LeBron's had a competitive roster ever since he's been in LA, minus the first year.
Yeah.
And the three-peat, like the fact that LeBron was never able to three-peat.
Yeah.
And Jordan did it twice.
Yeah, I'm not even talking about in comparison to Jordan. I just mean like him, just himself up against the.
Well, yeah. I mean, this, it goes into it, is because if you don't win, I mean, it's like watching the Expendables in a lot of sense too. It's like all these dudes that are past their prime just trying to make one last move. But
right.
I mean, if it doesn't look good if he doesn't win this year.
Yeah, because like, I agree with that. Like, the way I look at it is I feel like, because this world is so full of haters, is that if he wins, it's, oh, well, he had to add, you know, triple-double machine, former MVP to do it. If he loses, it's...
Plus Rondo, don't forget.
Oh, yeah, no, I know. And it's just like, if he loses, it's... they added all that and they lost. So I feel like it's just a lose-lose situation.
It kind of hurts. It does hurt the legacy.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I feel like
put it like that. I mean, if you're a true Lakers fan, you don't really care about anything. No. You just want the championship.
You want the dub, yeah. And I mean, at the end of the day, I for me personally, like, I don't know. I feel like you would agree with this, but I feel like people that listen that have heard me speak so highly of LeBron, and that's my dude, like, he's the greatest player of my lifetime. But like for me, I see it, and I see that I think it affects his legacy. And it's kind of like, I don't even really care what happens, because either way, I know that it's just going to be straight hate, backlash. So I don't know. It's just weird. It's a weird spot to be in as a fan.
You could have Rondo and Westbrook playing on the court at the same time.
I know. It's crazy.
With LeBron, AD, and like Dwight Howard or DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm saying. With that, that's an all-star roster in 2014.
Hey, if that team's playing in 2012, it's because they're playing in the USA, like the Olympics. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a roster.
But here's my thing. And I keep going back to this again. It's the health piece of it.
Yeah.
Like, that's, we all know that factor. That was my biggest thing when Anthony Davis first joined the team. I said it initially.
You said it, yeah. Day one.
I don't know how healthy he's going to be, and when he gets hurt, how detrimental is it going to be for the team? Yeah. And eventually, LeBron's going to have to be human.
Yeah.
Like, he's been playing at a very superhuman-ish level for the last couple of years. And in the playoffs was the first time that we kind of saw him look human.
Agreed.
I mean, he looked like a – he was still above average, but
he still looked like a good player, just not great. Not great.
Yeah. And he's about to be 37.
Bro, this is season 19. Ain't that crazy?
19 for a guy who's really only missed one season for injuries, because the groin injury when he first got to LA. But other than that, he's pretty much played almost every game every year. He's played over 70 games in most seasons.
Yeah.
So this, I mean, that's a lot of mileage in the car.
That's a lot of miles. Listen, man, I hope for the best, because like I think it would be a great way to cap, especially for me, like looking at a guy like Melo, I would love to see him get a ring. Like, that would be huge. Like, I remember back in the day, this is like 2004. I loved, in middle school and high school, and early high school, I loved throwback jerseys. So I remember ordering a like 70s Cavs jersey that was LeBron, and like an 80s Nuggets jersey that was Melo. And bro, no joke, I wore them each at least one time per week to school. Like, those were my two. I loved Melo and Bron. So like, this, it would just be, for me, nostalgically, like, it would be so dope to see them get a ring together. Like, I would love that, John. I'm just being a child right now, but
I mean, it'd be great. Look, if they end up losing, if LeBron ends up getting 40 piece by Devin Booker again on elimination games, it ain't gonna be pretty.
Facts. That's facts. No doubt about it. Well, I don't know about you, man, but I'm excited that we got to hop on and have a podcast and tell everybody a little bit about where we've been, what we've been up to. I'm looking forward to being back in the metaphorical booth at the metaphorical table, you know, chopping it up with you, man.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. More guests to come too.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. We're looking forward to it. It's been really cool, for me to, as a side note, seeing a lot of the people that have been guests on our show do really, really cool stuff.
Antoine's got an album coming out.
Album's coming out.
Antoine, I know you listen to this.
Yep.
Antoine, his album has been pushed back more than Donda.
Just less publicized. Remember, he told us it was going to be out in maybe April or May when he was.
I just want to say that before Kanye was Antoine, he started this trend first.
He did.
And so whenever the album comes out, I have Donda-like expectations.
That's a fact. I will say, from what I've heard of the album, it is not going to disappoint.
It's going to be fire.
It's going to be straight fire. But
I'm a stream that thing for a year straight.
Facts. That's no cap. But yeah, I mean, like, Ryan, you know, offensive line coach for UK. I mean, celebrate two guys getting drafted. Big win last weekend. You know, this is some good stuff.
It's a real career booster to get on Dave and Dave. Like, that's like
Keegan. Like, Keegan got a D1 coaching job, bro.
Yeah, I saw that. And it's like being on NPR Tiny Desk, really. I mean, like, you know, if you want to go anywhere in life, you gotta do the Tiny Desk. Like, come do the Tiny Pod.
If you're about sports, you need to be on the pod. I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah, come on, chop it up. Sit at the metaphorical table in the metaphorical booth, like you said.
Yep. Well, brother, I appreciate you, man. Until next time.
Peace.
Peace.